tell me a little bit about how Maoriland Film Festival collaborated with Bunjil Place and Asia Topa. How did that all happen?
It was from an email. They'd found us online and told us what they were doing. And when we heard about the kaupapa, and we've got a lot of Maoriland Film Festival is an international Indigenous film festival. So every year we bring hundreds of Indigenous filmmakers from all over the world to Osaki and Aotearoa, New Zealand. And a number of those filmmakers year after year are our cousins across the ocean over in what we call Te Whenua Moi Moia, or the Many Nations of Australia. And so we've been lucky to have a large number of Indigenous filmmakers from your country here in New Zealand for Maoriland. And so when we got asked if we wanted to share some of the films that have screened at Maoriland at Asiatopia with Bunjil Place, we were really excited to.
Yeah. Look, I was looking at the program. It's very carefully curated. It goes over 2 days. One's an afternoon and one's an evening. But they've tied it with some Pacifica singers and songwriters, which is a lovely way to do things, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's going to be an incredible couple of days.
In the first there's a live performance from Maori singer-songwriter Brianna Peters, and it's going to be followed with the feature film Uproar. I've seen it. I thought it didn't get enough airplay here. It's a lovely film.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favourite films from last year's film festival, actually. And I think what's incredible about that film at this point in time is, as we see so many of those conflicts that were loud in the 1980s.
It's historical in the sense it's a young man finding his feet, a Maori boy finding his artistic and personal space, but also the fight between the arrival of the Springbok and Maori political resistance against the status quo. That's what that film's about, isn't it? But it does it in a really gentle and personable way.
Yeah, exactly. And within the context of apartheid of that time, it's really about cultural unity and being able to look at something that was as divisive at the time and find a way to honour who you are as a person within that environment.
Like, it's history, but it's very close history, and it's got all this lovely footage of people standing up. It's quite amazing, isn't it? It must be amazing for your local audiences to see.
Yes, it was, I think. And it's got an incredible cast as well. You know, Julian Dennison is one of our Māori stars in his early 20s, but from the much-beloved New Zealand film Hunt for the Wilder People through to his work with Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool, he's starting to develop quite a diverse portfolio of work, and he's an extraordinary actor, and I really loved him in this role. But you know, he's playing against incredible actors.
Yeah, because it also brings that really interesting level of comedy and humour that often runs through Indigenous films, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and Julian is an absolute master of that.
Does this film Uproar have resonance now with what's going on politically in New Zealand?
I think it does. I think not just politically in New Zealand, but across the world, as, you know, in almost every continent on the planet, there are conflicts relating to identity and culture, and particularly with Indigenous peoples struggling to retain their sense of identity and even their existence on their tribal lands. And so I think that was the thing that really struck me when I first watched it, was that while it's a historical film, it is extremely contemporary and gives something to everybody watching it to take home and think about.
Yeah, it's a masterful piece of filmmaking, I think. And I was looking at the program that you've got for the next day, which starts as an afternoon thing. It's a 3 p.m. thing on March the second, which is a great Sunday afternoon thing to be doing. Like there's a Tonga singer-songwriter, Tyro Lewis. But then you've got this series of shorts, which are just quite amazing. The breadth of storylines that are being told. Like, for example, the first one, which is the Pacific Islands that were once teeming with life are now being destroyed by island eaters. And you sort of think to yourself, this is a meshing of storytelling and reality.
Yeah, that film Mata'i by Me'i Tākia from the Cook Islands is it's a fantastic sci-fi sort of post-apocalyptic vision of the wave of machinery battering at their doors. And I think that's something that we're seeing a lot in films from across the Pacific, that the threat of climate change is not a threat anymore. It's happening, and with the rising of the oceans, they're having to make really difficult decisions about their futures. But also the conflicts they find themselves in and who they partner with to make their way through the next few years is also something that is both necessary but also comes with hooks, and that's what you see in this short
Yeah.
animated film.
Oh, so there's a variety of different formats. I know that there's so this is an animated film. The there's documentaries as well as other dramatic shorts, and they have got very young people as the protagonists in some of the cases.
Yeah, protagonists and in the filmmakers themselves, actually, both Policia for the World and Toia Nahere were made by young Indigenous filmmakers, and they're incredible films. Toia Nahere was actually made here in Ōtaki with a collective of young Māori and Indigenous filmmakers who the whole process of the film was a workshop or a wānanga where they shared what they knew and they worked alongside people who they trusted with more experience and also those with less experience to make this beautiful film that again is looking at conservation through the eyes of these young teenagers who live in a really, really incredibly beautiful house out in the bush. Whereas Talisa's had a really exciting upbringing where she has travelled around the world quite significantly and has been learning Chinese so that she can advocate for her people about climate change issues in the Pacific. And so in 2023, she represented New Zealand at the International Chinese Bridge Speech Competition. But she's an incredible young leader that I think will become quite a well-recognized name and force to be realized with.
That's amazing because you just in that what you just spoke about tells us why we would actually come should come and open our eyes by coming and watching these films because I had no idea about the Chinese Bridge Speech Competition and it's when you go to you see the world outside the little closed world of say Australia. It's really fascinating to see that there's so much more out there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I really love about short films is that you get to travel the world in a couple of hours by watching these films, which they all have a common thread between them. But like you said, they're all different formats, are vastly different from vastly different communities. And so it feels like you've gone on a bit of a holiday in those 2 hours to travel the world.
I won't be saying it correctly, but Tuanaga Ira, about Hira who returns to her rural home from boarding school to discover her grandfather is terminally ill and that her younger brother's gone missing. That seems like a really interesting coming of age or a realization of a role that everybody has in. Looking after country and their community. That's what that film's about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it came about with those filmmakers having a conversation about what was important to them. And in the end, it all came back to the well-being of our environment impacts the well-being of us all. And so you see these siblings, one of them's been at boarding school, the other one's been at home with his grandparents, but coming to terms with what's happening around them. And all of this can sound a bit daunting potentially, but what's beautiful about this film is that there's an action at the end. You see them doing something together about it. And I think that's something that's true out of all these films, that while you're there navigating big real world issues, there's that light and joy and humour and connectivity that you see in a lot of Indigenous cinema that makes it an overall inspiring and activating experience.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because it doesn't turn its back on. I mean, even the fact that the person's been to boarding school, that's an intrusion into the family life. I mean, they've taken quite clear issues that people are actually living with, and the cultural invasion that it implies, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You finish off with a pretty great film from Kucha's Kukuroko Birds. I love Kucha Edwards' beautiful little films. This is a great choice, isn't it, to finish the program?
Yeah, one thing that we loved about this film, and John Harvey makes really, really stunning work. I'm a big fan of all of his films, but we loved about this film when we first watched it was there's a real sense of camaraderie and, brotherly love as they are driving around and then get to the tree and play music together. And also it's special to see Uncle Jack in there before he passed. And so there's this intergenerational thing that's going on in this film as well, which is just an incredibly special piece of filmmaking.
Well, thanks very much for talking to me about this event. It's a lovely thing, and it's a special gift that you're going to come and run this program for us on March the 1st and 2nd at Bunjil's Place.
Yeah, we're really excited to be able to share these films with everyone.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me. Ka kite.